We take our Bibles today and we go to Luke's Gospel chapter 4. I want to bring you part 2 today of lessons from Jesus about temptation. As you're turning to Luke 4, I did not mention in the prayer, but let's be sure and pray for the President and First Lady as they are with coronavirus, and anybody else you know of that has it deserve to be prayed for. I would not dare go back and review anything I have brought out of the fourth chapter, but I do want to read the opening 13 verses, and I want to give you 6 truths to remember regarding temptation. So at Luke 4, if you're at Luke 4 and ready for me to read starting at verse 1, would you say amen? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. As we look at this subject of temptation and how our Lord faced it, I want to look at 6 truths to remember, and I'm going to give you the 6. I've given you a handout. Did you all get a handout today to participate in? And you may fill that in as I go through this, and I'm going to give you some scripture references to write down with it. Number 1, your little handout says temptation has its root in blank and blank. So temptation has its root in passion and appetite. I repeat, temptation has its root in passion and appetite. Let me give you for a reference James 1:14. Here's what James 1:14 says. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now look at that verse for just a moment. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own, the word is lust. It means the appetite that's in the heart. We are drawn because of appetites that's in the heart. And enticed. The word enticed means to entrap, it means to delude, it means to allure, it means to beguile. So here's what James said. A man is tempted when he is drawn of his own heart's appetite. Now, we're going to talk about the word enticed in just a moment, but let me say to you that the enticement that is there is an opportunity to scrutinize, and out of that enticement, we find out what's in the heart. Let me give an example. In the text we read of Luke, Lucifer said, If you be the Son of God, take this stone and turn it into bread. Lucifer, or Satan, was scrutinizing Jesus at that point. He was examining him. He was doing his best to draw him. But Jesus couldn't be drawn because his heart did not have an appetite to do what Lucifer wanted. Remember that it's only a drawing sensation when you want it. Now, Jesus' body was hungered. I have no doubt that he wanted food in his body. But he did not want food in his body enough to displease his Father. Therefore, he was able to say that man shall not live by bread alone. And so we find that temptation has its root in the passion and appetite of our heart. And if I am scrutinized and given an opportunity for wrong and I do it, I can't say the devil made me do it. I must acknowledge that in that moment, that was the appetite of my heart. And that's the way it works with everybody. Number two, your handout says, any temptation is blank to all mankind. So fill that in. Any temptation is common to all mankind. I give you 1 Corinthians 10:13, the first part of the verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, speaking of mankind. Now let me clarify something. You may have a temptation for something that I don't have. I may have a temptation for something you don't have. It doesn't mean that every temptation in the book you have. I imagine in this congregation there would be few people who had a temptation the previous week to go buy crack cocaine. But we were tempted. We just wasn't tempted for some things. But nobody can say, I am tempted for something, but what the rest of mankind, many of mankind, has the same temptation you do. You can't say, I'm in a peculiar situation. Nobody understands what I go through. My temptation is greater than somebody else's. No, it's not either. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's number two. Number three. God does not allow any believer to be tempted above what he is able to blank, bear, fill it in, bear. There is always a way to blank, escape, fill it in. So let me read it again. God does not allow any believer to be tempted beyond what he is able to bear. There is always a way to escape. Now, jot down the reference, 1 Corinthians 10:13, part B of that verse. Here's what it says. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, that means permit, you to be tempted, that is to be scrutinized, examined, and enticed, above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, and the word escape means to exit. Notice the rest of the verse. That you may be able to bear it. That you may be able to be of power when you face it. Now, we read that verse and we say, well, God won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able, but he will make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. And we think, well, I thought if you escaped something, you didn't have to bear it. That's not what that means at all. Here's the best illustration. When I was thinking through that during the course of the week, I said, Lord, help me to give some type of an example that would be made clearer. Did you ever do something as a child and it was a bigger job than you can do and you just couldn't move it? Today, I could not lift 500 pounds. In fact, if I tried lifting 50 pounds, it'd wipe me out the rest of my life. But as a child, you may have tried to do something, to lift something, to pick up something, and you could not do it. And maybe your dad or mom came beside of you, and they got in it with you, and they said, hold on to it. And I picked it up together, and with the aid of a parent, you did what you couldn't do. When the load of temptation gets on you that seems to be more than you can bear, God says, I won't put more on you than you can bear, but I will make a way through which you will have an exit, and in that exit, it will be that I come alongside you and get in it with you, and I will give you the power to walk through that and bear with me in you and you in me what you can't do on your own. That's the picture. Oh, dear God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. Oh, dear God, I don't want to face that temptation again. Oh, God, take this away from me. Why not start praying, oh, dear Lord, I don't want to face this on my own. Would you walk with me through this, and on the other side, we'll be victorious if you are in it. Lord, if you're not in it, I'm going to be defeated. In fact, could we be just bluntly honest about temptation? You don't know of a temptation in your life, and I don't know of one in my life that we can face successfully apart from Jesus. I don't care what it is. All temptation is too big for us. And it's a matter of being willing to acknowledge. From time to time, I've been through all manner of stuff in all these years of ministry. And somebody would say, maybe it would be with a couple, and one of them had a moral failure. And one say about himself or herself, and the other one say about their spouse, I didn't think they'd ever do that to me. I thought they loved me too much. Let me tell you something. Somebody's faithfulness has absolutely nothing to do with loving you. Your spouse's love for you got nothing to do with temptation or failing. If we don't love God enough not to do it, you don't stand a chance. That's the bottom line. And one of them say, I just didn't think I would ever do that. Well, that's where you made one of your critical errors, thinking that you wouldn't do it and couldn't do it. Now, I had a wonderful mom and dad. My dad thought anything any other boy will do, my two boys will do. And folks, that's a good thing for you to think. Because why? Well, we've just established there's no temptation taken anyone such as is common to man. Why do I think I would have a son or a daughter and they absolutely are not capable of doing what other people do? You and I are capable of it. And that's why we build in certain safeguards of both heart desire, heart conviction, and outward practice that would prohibit the opportunity to be scrutinized and examined and enticed. I mean, think just a moment. Folks, we put up fences to keep the cows in, not to keep the people out. And we build up fencing and hedges of protection so that we stay in the confines of what God says is a protected arena. We are all made, for instance, sexual beings. The first question we ask about one's pregnancy or upon the birth of the child, was it a boy or girl? That's a sexual question. So being sexual beings, unless you're just a pervert of the highest order, boys like girls and girls like boys, and at some point as they mature emotionally and physically, they will see that ugly little boy and that ugly little girl, she became a beautiful young lady and he became a handsome young man, and they desire to merge and bring their lives together emotionally and sexually. And God has a fence established called marriage, and in the context of marriage, it is not just permitted, it is protected. But outside of that fence, it is deadly. And so it is with every other temptation. God in His Word has established His values that have not yet totally taken over my life nor yours. If God's values were perfectly my values, I would never do wrong. I'd never think wrong. I'd never speak wrong. I'd never act wrong. So there's part of me that still has not come into alignment with God's values, and it is precisely at that point that demon spirits, Lucifer's helpers, have scrutinized us, are doing their best to examine us and find out wherein our weaknesses might be, to set up an opportunity for enticement. So I'm going to see, how's this do? Just like a fisherman throws a certain kind of bait and brings it through. Let's just see if they have a knack for that today. Let's see if they want that today. And that's the way it works. And wherein we do not have the protective value of God having been established in our hearts, then we begin to take a second look. And when you begin to take a second glance at anything, and folks, it could be something your doctor said you can't have any more of it because the condition of your liver, kidneys, heart, whatever, you can't keep doing that. At that point, if the physician has said, Your body can't take that anymore. God said to you, you present your body as a living sacrifice, and because you want your body to be the best it can be for as long as God will let you live, you establish right there, I can't do that anymore. Because you're doing that not just because your doctor said it, but because in light of what he said being true, you want that area of your life to become under the lordship of Jesus. And yes, it is true. At times in your life when you were younger and could do certain things that did not abuse your body goes through changes, for it is a temporal vessel. And there comes a time that what you used to could do that was not bad for you has come to be a time that you no longer do it. And so you want to live in the protection of what God has said. So, he'll make a way of escape, but it generally is the way where he says, I will make a way for you then to bear it. And the word bear means to be of power. I will make a way where you can have that power. And folks, the only power available for that is him. And he comes in because you are willing to, as Ephesians says, having done all, you're standing. You're having your loins girt about with truth. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and on and on. Number four. Jesus understands temptation because he was tempted in blank points as other men, yet he blank sinned. Let's talk about that. Jesus understands temptation because he was tempted in all points as other men, yet he never sinned. Jesus had the opportunity to be. He was scrutinized. He was indeed examined, but he never indeed sinned. And when the text says that he was tempted in all points, that means thoroughly. You can't ever say, well, I was tempted with something, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus has no idea what it'd be like to go through with that. Yes, he does too. You say, well, how do you know that? Because his word is not a lie. And he said he was tempted in all points as other men, yet he never sinned. Now jot down the reference, Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, may I take that statement that is written in the negative form, may I turn that around in the positive form where it might mean more to you? When the writer said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that means that we do have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted. There's that again, scrutinized, examined, and enticed, like as we are, yet without, that means apart from any sin. So Jesus understands temptation because he was tempted in all points, thoroughly as other men, and he never sinned. Number five, Jesus Christ is a sympathetic high priest who is able to blank the believer through temptation. So we want to fill in the word help, H-E-L-P. Jesus Christ is a sympathetic high priest who is able to help the believer through temptation. Now you want to jot down Hebrews 2:18. Here's the text. For in that he himself, that's Jesus, has suffered being tempted. When it says he suffered, he experienced the vexation of being tempted. Being tempted, what does that mean again? Scrutinized, examined, and enticed. He is able to, the King James word is succor. We don't use that word anymore. It's one of those words that gets outdated. It means he's able to help them that are tempted. So here's the bottom line. As we endure temptation and stand faithfully against it, God strengthens us. God teaches us. He teaches us discipline and obedience for something else that's coming down the road. Do you get that? God knows what he's doing when we're being tempted. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And you know whether a person can be trusted once they have been tested. And so, thank God, he is a sympathetic high priest who can help us. You need his help, church family? I do. Now, number six, this is our final one, but I give you three parts to it, okay? Three bullets. It is temptation is overcome. Bullet number one, by blank to God and blank the devil. Fill it in, by submitting to God and resisting the devil. So we're going to overcome temptation by submitting to God and resisting the devil, and we do it in that order. We don't resist the devil and then submit to God. We first submit to God. Now let's look and jot down James 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now when the word says submit, it is a word that means to subordinate. Put yourself under the one who is in charge. An employee subordinates himself or herself to the employer. And if they do not do that, it will be a matter of time they will be at the unemployment office. That's called an orderly arrangement. And he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Why? Because he is the potter. I'm the clay. The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. So submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. The word resist means you oppose him. You stand against him. And when you do, he said, and he will flee from, that means he'll shun you. He will shun you. So get yourself under. If you have a high horse, go tie it up somewhere and you get off of it and leave it alone. We have no place in the battle for temptation with anybody on a high horse. You've not faced any temptation enough times with victory that you might fall the next time. Don't ever get to gloating over it. Remember what goes before a great fall? The Bible says pride does. So submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Second bullet. You overcome temptation by denying blank and worldly blank of the flesh. By denying ungodliness and worldly lust of the flesh. Jot down the reference, Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now let's put that in its context. This is written by the apostle. This is written to Titus. It is one of the pastoral epistles. It has to do with saved people. So the grace of God that brought you salvation has appeared to everybody it's brought it to all men to do something. There's nobody that's had the salvation of the grace of God brought to them that hasn't been taught this, says the writer. Teaching us that. Denying ungodliness. We are, denying means to reject and refuse. Ungodliness is a word that just means wickedness. So we're going to deny wickedness, refuse wickedness, and worldly lust. Worldly means corrupt. Lust are inordinate affections and desires. We should live soberly, and that word sober has got to do with sober-mindedness. So now he says, get you thinking like it ought to be. Live sober-mindedly, righteously. Righteously means whatever is just and right in the eyes of God. So get your thinking on and get yourself in line with what God says is right. There you go with God's values again. If you've got something that's not right, let's do our best to flush that and get rid of that. Don't let that keep a corner in your life. Don't have a junk room in your heart. If you do, the junk room will take over. So get your thinking right. And then live soberly, righteously, and godly. He didn't say in the world to come. It's for this present world. Folks, temptation won't be an issue in the next world. Somebody say hallelujah. But it is an issue here. And it will be, are y'all listening? It will be an issue for Brother Wayne and for you until we are glorified. Only once we're glorified is temptation not an issue. So the two ways thus far, temptation's overcome by submitting to God and resisting the devil, by denying ungodliness and worldly lust of the flesh. Third and final bullet point, we're going to overcome temptation by using and obeying blank to combat temptation. By using and obeying Scripture. Right or in there. Now we read in our text to start with of Luke 4, that Jesus answered Lucifer when Lucifer told him to take this stone and turn it to bread. Jesus answered him saying, Luke 4:4, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now you remember what I said on that last bullet? By using and obeying Scripture to do what? Combat. That word I've chosen for a reason. Combat. Folks, this is a war. We are having combat. And the place of combat is the heart and the mind. And the Lord generally doesn't bypass the mind to do a work in the heart. And temptation generally doesn't bypass the mind to do a work in the heart. And I would just say to you, sometimes I'll have men and women say to me, maybe more men have said this than women through the years, Pastor, I seem to have a battle in my mind. And you know what my response is? Good. Good. You either don't have a mind or you're lying about it. Now, am I saying that everybody is full of sexual lust and wants to do things you're not supposed to do of an immoral? I'm not saying that at all. But I am telling you that just as much as the devil took a fiery dart and shot that temptation through the mind of Jesus, if a temptation goes through your mind, take a deep breath and relax and say, praise God, I belong to Jesus. That is, if your heart doesn't want to do it. Now, if your heart wants to do it, you got a problem. See, it wouldn't be bad for ugly thought to go through your head, but does that entice you? You know, most of my life, and my wife will tell you I still have lots of weaknesses, but I'll tell you there was a day I couldn't turn down ice cream. And I'm not talking, you know, the only thing I ever said I didn't like was a little bit of anything. One day one of my daughters said, Daddy, you got to know moderation. I said, yeah, but he graduated before I got into high school, and I never met him. Which, by the way, was wise words for her to say, and that was a pitiful response for her daddy to say. But you got to understand something. You have to get to the place, if you have in the past loved ice cream much as I have, and I don't think anybody exceeded my love for ice cream, that somebody else can eat it. I remember that it was good, but I'm not going to sit there and salivate and slobber all over the table while you eat it. It just doesn't mean that much anymore because I have learned to tell myself, my wife would have to decide, I don't know if I eat ice cream 2 times a year or not. I mean, it's just no longer an issue. But now, folks, there are other things that me and you both need to be getting over that are still an issue. The question is not, do I think about ice cream? Well, I see it every time I go down Perimeter Road, got Dairy Queen. But I don't just, you know, my car don't just jump over in the ditch, you know, and I can't control myself. So if an ugly thought goes through your head, praise God for it, unless, y'all think about this. Lucifer says to Jesus, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus salivates and said, oh, man, I'd love to. Oh, and I mean, it's like a cartoon with a saliva coming out of his mouth. Folks, that wasn't the way he responded to that. He had no enticement for it because the weight of his desire to please his Father was so much heavier than any desire he could have had for physical bread. He just replied what the Scripture says. You're going to have a battle in your mind as long as you live, but you better be concerned. If I'm honest with myself, do I really want that? If I could have something and people not know it and I not get caught, do I want it? You're in trouble. I know Papa Sam said to me years ago, he said, Wayne, you may not understand this. I was real young in ministry. He said, but it is shocking to the core of my soul what men and women would do if they thought they could do it and get away with it. See, that's the condition of the heart, and that's what needs to change. 6 things to remember about temptation. Now, I'm going to conclude with this, and we'll go, okay? Y'all listen up. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're all going to stand there, says the Scripture. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. We're not having a decision there are we going to make it to heaven or not? Everybody at the judgment seat of Christ goes to heaven, but the great white throne judgment bar of God's another story. That's lost people that stands at that one. But we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. For me to get a grade will determine by the fire of God what did I do that was wood, hay, and stubble versus gold, silver, and precious stone. And we're all going to have some wood, hay, and stubble. I'm convinced of that. I hope we all have, I hope I do, some gold, silver, and precious stone. But I raise that issue this morning to say that if the Lord this morning said, well, I've been grading you, Wayne, on your temptation. I'm talking about on your heart enticement. What kind of grade do you reckon God would give Brother Wayne on the enticement of his heart? What kind of grade do you suppose Jesus would give you on the enticement of your heart? That's where I want this message to end today as we bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, if there are those in this room who have never received your Son as Savior, may God the Holy Spirit bring that sovereign work of regeneration where that person desires to turn from their past to give you their present, to turn from wickedness unto the righteous one, and to be willing to repent and to be saved. May you save them, O God, this day. But Lord, for those in the room like myself who are professed believers and who know that they've been a work of grace, may we be serious with you in this moment about the enticement of our heart. Lord, it's not wrong for us to be enticed, but it is wrong for our hearts to yearn for that enticement. Now, may you do something significant in us today that some part of the old man dies. May we stand against it. May we find that there's part of the old man to be taken off today, and may there be part of the new man be placed on in the mercy and grace of God, so that our coming days will be days of greater strength, greater victory over temptation, greater service to you and love for you. Sanctify these moments as people deal with their own lives before you, and as we hopefully, O God, are each willing to surrender our hearts, our lives, our minds, our present and our future to you. Lord, take away the past for those who've confessed it and repented of it. Secure their future and secure their present and bring peace and assurance to their future. We recognize that as the God of all grace, our ultimate assurance, hope, and confidence is found in you. Bless these moments of decision in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the church family to stand with me. This is our hymn of commitment. This altar is open. If you have commitments you need to make, I would invite you to respond as we begin to sing, and in a moment we'll be through.